You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes!
That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the King.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that is changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. We are finally back with our first full show in what seems like a while. Who am I? You ask, I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus. There's only two light-skinned editors that are better than me, and I'm both of them. Vandenberg, what's good, brother?
What is up, stranger? How are you?
The question is, how are you? I was getting a little worried. I was going to have to call TJ back, and that would ruin the whole dynamic of the show, at least the opening.
Well, I heard you, TJ, and your hot takes. Your outrageous hot takes about PJ Subban. And shit, what else did you say? What else did you guys talk about that pissed me off?
We talked NBA, we talked NHL, and we talked some WWE.
Oh, the Steph Curry take. Get out of here. Why would you trade the two-time MVP to rebuild? Come on. What kind of stupid shit is that?
Yes, TJ was on one.
Come on. Kemba Walker and Kevin Durant are not Steph Curry and Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah. So it's good to have you back, brother. I see you already fired up. You know, anybody that follows you on social media knows that you were not in an agreeable mood this weekend, not hugging people and whatnot. So I guess that's where we'll start this week. How have you been since we last talked to you?
I've been good. I still have a job, which is
that's
a good
always
thing.
Good.
Yes. You might have read about some changes that were going on at my place of work. I was not impacted by it per se, but at the same time when we recorded, I think it was now 2 weeks ago, I was not really in the mood to do a show, so I skipped out because that was the same day as the layoffs at work. So, but besides that, I spent the weekend adjacent to Nate, but not in the same city as Nate. And, it's hot in Virginia, Nate. Did you know that?
I mean, it is summertime, Marcus. It's not the, you know, your temperate Los Angeles weather. This is real weather.
Whew. I mean, Sunday was nice weather, but Saturday was,
yeah, Saturday was like 99 degrees, no breeze.
Humidity. It was just no thunderstorm or even cool it off. Just nothing. Just sun. So... but I'm back from Virginia in D.C. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, brother. Just, you know, working and knocking out these podcasts and watching too much wrestling as we speak. I'm watching the end of SmackDown.
Oh, the rematch, huh?
The women's Money in the Bank.
No spoilers. I might watch it tonight.
I was going to tell you, James Ellsworth wins.
Oh, I knew it.
It came down to James Ellsworth and LaMelo Ball.
No, oh, yeah, we'll talk about my Raw experience
will.
Last night.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
I think we had talked offline. I was going to say offline. We talked off air, but online You're in my neck of the woods, attending a wedding. So all of that went well.
My former roommate, Darren, who's a reporter for BuzzFeed, got married over the weekend in Virginia, to his now wife, Jumi, who is Nigerian. So there was two ceremonies, a traditional Nigerian ceremony on Thursday night, and then your regular wedding on Saturday afternoon. So
I'm assuming the traditional Nigerian ceremony was more lit.
It was more lit. It was something.
Had you been in a traditional Nigerian ceremony before?
I had not. I had never attended one. I have not attended any Nigerian event in the past because I broke several rules that I didn't realize.
I knew a guy that could help you out with that, Marcus.
Yeah, well, he's dead to all of us. But yeah, so I was in the wedding, and which meant we took part in both ceremonies, and that also meant us wearing traditional Nigerian garb, which my friend Keith made the comment online that I look like a mulatto orthodontist. Nigerian,
yeah,
orthodontist.
I saw the picture. I was like, I didn't know what tribe you're representing, or if you were getting ready for the reboot of Coming to America. But I was like, okay, it suited you though.
Yeah, it was comfortable, at least. But
especially as hot as it was.
Yes, at least this was indoors, luckily. But we didn't know really what to expect. I guess the first rule we broke, and most of the guys in the group broke this, was we were supposed to bring money. And I am not a cash-carrying person usually, so I had no dollars on me. And not only do you need money to sort of like enter the room, which they did collect from people, you also needed dollar bills to sort of shower onto the bride during like the dancing. So, you know, traditionally you do one money dance during a wedding. Right. Well, the entire ceremony is like the money dance. So the entire time people are just laying dollar bills on the bride and groom. And then there are like these two little girls who were at the wedding who were on the ground with a bag collecting the money. So,
sounded like a great hustle.
Yeah, I mean they got me, but I was trying to bum money all night off people, but I had literally no money. So,
and they didn't accept PayPal or Bitcoin.
They did not, and this was at a country club. There was no ATM on site at the country club either. So,
oh wow.
Even if I wanted to get a 20 and find some singles, at least I was out of luck. So, so there was that, and then there was also a lot of dancing, which they shouldn't come as a shock to you guys if you've been listening to the show. I'm not much of a dancer. So the whole weekend was me sort of being outside my comfort zone. And it started Thursday with the dancing. And, you know, you sort of walk in dancing with the rest of the groomsmen. And they're like two or three older Nigerian women. One in particular was sort of running the show on the mic. She was like the MC of the evening. So
she was the Leslie Jones, to use the BET Awards analogy.
Yes, she was. So we had to do this twice. Basically walked in and walked up to the front, and we get up to the front and the bride's parents are sitting there on her couch. And she told us we needed to, basically pay homage to the parents. And by doing that, you need to get on your stomach, essentially, and like pray or bow to the parents. When she told us this, she was having fun with us, and she told us that we needed to do push-ups in front of the parents. So the first time we go through this whole process, we're actually doing push-ups in front of everyone. And later on, we found out that she was fucking with us, because the second time we had to go back in and do this whole process. She was like, no, you just lay on your stomach and have your hands and legs extended. So
Now, I think the question the listeners are thinking about right now, Marcus, is how far could she have gone where you still would have believed her?
Oh, at that point, she had scared me. I was already scared of her, so she could have said whatever.
She could have had you barking like Trish Stratus back in the
yes.
day.
Yes, and I would have said, okay, this is what y'all do in your culture, then I don't want to, you know, be rude and disrespectful, so... So I think she knew we had no idea what to expect. So, and as you might imagine, as I found out on Saturday, someone who was sitting across from me at the ceremony on Thursday made the comment about, oh, well, you really didn't look like you wanted to go down to the ground. And I said, you would be correct. it was, not tiring, but you know, if you ever had to do like, was it burpees?
I was saying, when's the last time you did push-ups or burpees or something of that nature?
Years. Years. So just the whole process of, like, extending your body all the way to the ground and then back up on your feet and then back down again, that's, you know, I'm out of shape. I'm not built for this. So, but it was a wonderful ceremony on Thursday and Saturday. And Saturday... It was an outdoor ceremony, and as I mentioned earlier, it was a little warm on Saturday, and when you combine that with black tuxedos, it was touch and go there for a little bit, but we all survived standing outside for, luckily it was only 20 minutes or so, but still, it was quite warm.
so what you're saying is the next time you get ready for a Nigerian wedding, you have to train like an American Ninja Warrior?
I know. I gotta get in shape for weddings in general.
cool. So what were their names again?
Darren Sands and Jumi Olabanji, who's now Jumi Sands. And if you're in New York, she is a TV anchor for WNBC. And she previously worked in D.C. before this job. So she was on... Good Morning DC, which I believe is a Fox station, ABC station, ABC.
Yeah, ABC. Yeah.
And she's also worked in your neck of the woods, Nate, back in the day. She worked in the Hampton Roads area. So she's been all over Virginia. She's also worked in Newport, not Newport News. She worked in Charlottesville as her first job. So. She's been all over.
Okay, out in the UVA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so shout out to Darren and Jumi. Wish them many years of happiness. But I think, again, I alluded to it earlier, Marcus, the real reason I wanted you to tell about your travels this weekend is because of the picture you posted on Twitter of the man asking people to hug him, and you turned him down being the callous person you are. So what was that? What was his deal?
So in Charlottesville, they had this little outdoor mall area and like a promenade. And there was a guy who was standing there with a blindfold on with a sign. And let me find this picture so I can read the sign to you. It said, trust. I'll trust you. Will you trust me? Doesn't matter who you are. What you look like, why you're here, bring your heart, share a hug. And then there's a quote that says, in times of so much division and fear, maybe the most revolutionary and helpful thing we can do is give each other a hug. This might be the hug guy calling me right now.
Right.
So he was standing in the middle of this promenade, blindfold on, with his arms out in the hug position. And as soon as we saw the guy, a woman went up and said, why not? And hugged him.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time, and we stood there maybe a good 45 seconds, I was trying to figure out if he could actually see us, because we were standing like probably a good, maybe 5 feet away, but right in front of him,
right,
trying to take a picture. But I was also trying to see if he would like, you know, get the sense that we were staring at him, which we were. Nate, would you have hugged the man?
So here's the thing, Marcus. I think, first of all, you got to give him credit for the sign, because that's a lot of information to put on a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And so you give him credit for that. I give him credit for the sentiment. But there's two reasons I wouldn't have hugged him. Number one, the blindfold just kind of creeps me out.
Uh-huh.
A little bit. Like, I think, like, if he didn't have the blindfold on, if he just had, like, some sunglasses on, I think maybe. But the other thing is, like we already alluded to and we already mentioned several times, it's hot right now, man.
Yeah.
If you was doing this in the spring, maybe the fall, you can get a hug. But summertime, no, man. It's too hot for that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. No, okay, let me ask you this question. What if it was a woman?
now we're walking down into dangerous territory.
Now, I should say, the reason why I didn't hug him was, trust me, I'm not homophobic in any sense.
I was going to say, you have a problem with two men sharing an emotional embrace, Marcus?
No, of course not.
So we get at the wedding, people trying to hug you. Nah, bro, I don't do that.
I'm good.
You're like, who's it, Jerry Seinfeld when he brushed off Kesha?
Oh, that's right. That was recently, yeah. Or was it Larry David or was it Seinfeld?
I think it was Seinfeld, because okay. Kesha was like, I love your show. And then he's like, okay, who are these people?
I guess if it were, see, what I would feel even weirder about it being a woman because of the creep factor.
Yeah.
Like, me hugging up on some woman who's blindfold. Like, no. In Charlottesville, Virginia? Shit, that's like a ABC What Would You Do thing, man. I'd be,
All of a sudden, who's the guy that used to be on To Catch a Predator? He shows up with the camera crew?
Oh, John Tionis. Oh, no, Catch a Predator is Chris Hansen. Yeah, Chris Hansen was
Chris Hansen,
up.
Yeah. Chris Hansen just comes out. So, Marcus Vandenberg, what are you doing here?
Yeah. No, I
would... You know how old this woman is, Marcus?
I'd be more likely to hug a man than a woman because of that reason alone. Because yeah.
The blindfold to me, like, that takes it up to a level of... whether you're a man or a woman, putting the blindfold on is a little sketchy.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why, like, he has it,
like,
on.
Even for the hugger, like, wouldn't you want to see the people hugging you?
But I guess his whole thing is he doesn't want to discriminate. I don't know. Like, not that he would say no to, like, you know, me because I'm black, but this is an even playing field.
That would be funny, though. That would have made for a much better story if you actually tried to hug him. He's like, sorry, I don't do that. I don't hug your kind. so yeah, we need to hook that guy up with Bailey.
Bailey,
they can hug each other.
Yeah, well, she could use a hug.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with her.
I don't know either. I don't think they know. They don't know either.
No, they don't. But there is one thing I do know, Marcus. We got a packed show this week, so we're going to go ahead and end the A block, because we have NBA to talk about. We've got some NFL topics to touch on. We have a lot in the world of sports, but most importantly, I'm trying to get us to segment 4, because I think that's where we may spend the bulk of our time this week.
I think so.
Because it's going to be, to use the words of Tony Reale and Uncle Mike Wilbon, it's going to be a ball night. So don't you guys and girls go anywhere. Keep it locked right here, because we have more Kings of Sport right after the break.
the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
What's going on, party people and everybody out there in podcast land? It's your man, Nate. And we'll get back to the show in just a little while. But while we got some time, I just wanted to let you guys know the three ways you can get in touch with the Kings of Sport. Way number one, you can tweet us on Twitter, because that's where people tweet people, apparently. You can hit us up on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Way number two, you can email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. That's thekingsofsport@gmail.com. And finally, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So there you have it. Those are the three ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave feedback. You can join the discussion. Three ways you can be down with the Kings.
We good, Marcus? Do we have to pay warranty for this? Because I ain't got G-Funk money.
Keep it going now.
Welcome back to the show that's trending worldwide, from coast to coast and station to station. It's sports talk for our generation. The Kings of Sport, thekingsofsport.com.
For all you black folks out there,
that one is hot fire.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, and since you're hearing that music, you know what it means. It is time to play I Got Five on It. And for those of you that are new to the program, what this is, it's a segment of the show where I come up with five questions, four legitimate sports questions and one wild card, and I pose them to my co-host Marcus Vandenberg. So we got a lot to talk about. Like I said, we got some NBA, we got some NFL, and of course, the mysterious wild card. So Marcus Vandenberg, are you ready for I Got Five on It?
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one pertains to the NBA draft, which took place about a week ago. Last week, we saw Markelle Fultz, the first overall pick, going to the Philadelphia 76ers to join the Feds.
The Feds.
Like I don't know. I don't know if I like that as a nickname for that group.
I don't get the nickname.
I think it's because they took the letters from their names.
You got Embiid.
Who's the D? Because the S is Simmons.
Dario.
Yeah. So yeah, they're the Feds, which Kevin Durant, immediately becoming more likable about a minute, came out on, I guess it was Twitter or Facebook, and he was like, how you gonna give yourself a nickname? Y'all ain't even played a game.
Is
true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The number two pick was Marcus's hero, Lonzo Ball, to his hometown Lakers. You saw Jason Tatum go third, Josh Jackson fourth, De'Aaron Fox fifth, Laurel I Love Mockinen seventh. Did I skip somebody?
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac sets the Magic.
Yeah. And then Frank, I'm not going to try to pronounce your name, went to Phil Jackson and the Knicks. And Zach Collins was picked 10th to end the lottery portion of the draft. So, Marcus, I think the picks, at least the first couple of picks, kind of went to form. So who do you think was the biggest winner from the NBA draft? And let's save the loser for the next question. So who was the biggest winner on draft night? whether it be the draft or the trade that went down?
Biggest winner in my books were the Sacramento Kings. If you look at the players they were able to snag, I was quite impressed, to be honest, that they were able to sort of draft guys not only who are talented but come from the traditional college powerhouses. You mentioned Fox from Kentucky, Justin Jackson from UNC, Frank Mason from Kansas, and Harry Giles from Duke. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, name the four most prestigious college programs in college basketball, you'd probably have those four on the list. So there are some question marks with Giles for sure. He would, I mean, if he was healthy, he probably would have been the number one overall pick. But he had some injury issues that sort of derailed his season at Duke. But if he can, you know, recover from his injuries and get his game right, that could be a steal at number 20. And, you know, I am high on Frank Mason. I don't want to compare him to Isaiah Thomas, who dropped all the way to 60, but he's someone who is undersized, but whenever you saw him play at Kansas, you know, especially this last season, his senior season, he was usually the best guy on the court. And, you know, I think, you know, guys 6 feet and under, there's some limitations there, but it's not to the point where you don't see 6 feet guys and under not being, you know, productive basketball players. So I think the Kings, who have a lot of holes, definitely filled a lot of those spots with young talent. And, you know, who knows if a couple years from now, if some of these guys hit, like a Justin Jackson, a De'Aaron Fox, by the way, who should be pointed out, lit up Lonzo Ball twice in college when Kentucky put UCLA. So he's no slouch either.
I like that answer. I think this is kind of the most serious rebuild we've seen from the Kings since their glory days with Weber and that group. It's still going to be a long ways to go, especially in the Western Conference, but I like what they did. I think my answer, Marcus, and this might be the easier answer, the safer answer, I'm going to go with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Because I really like what they did, acquiring Jimmy Butler, and you add him to a roster that already has Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and maybe Ricky Rubio if he doesn't get traded. Like, I like what they did there. It still, again, being in the West, it's still going to be a tough road to hoe. But I like what Tibbs and the Timberwolves did on draft night.
Yeah, I mean, that's now their bid three. And, you know, it's not LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love, but at the same time, it's a better trio than, I would say, definitely half of the Western Conference for sure. So
yeah,
it'll be,
you know, it might not put them in the top three, but it certainly to me puts them better in a better position playoff wise than, you know, somebody like a Utah.
Yeah, well, I think Utah is really, really good, and maybe a little underrated because they are Utah, but some of the stuff they do, especially defensively, you know, I think they won 50 games for a reason. For Minnesota to now make that jump from a 31 win team to, let's say, a 45 win team, I think they got to do it. They got to at least make the playoffs. So whether that's 45 wins or 41 wins or whatever it might be, you can't, you know, Tom Thibodeau can't settle for another lottery pick when you have those three guys starting for you.
Is it crazy that the thing that worries me the most about them is Thibodeau? Just like we know he's a good coach, but he has a reputation for grinding guys down. And I don't know, like there's so much young talent on this team. It's like, I don't want to see him burn these guys out too fast.
Yeah, I mean, I know Butler must be hiring the dude, and vice versa. And you mentioned the young dudes. Towns is 21, Wiggins is 22. That is very young. So that's something you have to keep an eye on. But knock on wood, both of these guys have been, I guess the three of them have been mostly healthy in their careers. So,
yeah,
you know, hopefully it will not impact them. Wiggins has only missed one game in his professional career in three seasons. So, you know, we'll see. He averaged 37 minutes this year, which is about where he should be. It's not an alarming number of minutes. You know, if he was over 40 minutes, then that'd be a problem. But, yeah, that's about where you want to be. And Towns hasn't missed a game yet. So.
No. Yeah, I like what they're putting together over there in Minnesota. But let's go from a trade that did happen to trade rumors and trade speculation that ultimately ended up not happening, and that is the New York Knicks and your boy Phil Jackson and Porzingis. And the reason I bring them up, Marcus, is because the next question number two, who was the biggest loser on draft night? And I might be inclined to lean towards the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go to the Knicks. I not so much because of the Porzingis Carmelo stuff. It's And maybe they'll strike again with another Porzingis type, with Frank. I'm going to try to pronounce his name here. Nitakina from France. But you're in a situation where you can't really afford to have any misses. And this kid is 18.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of question marks for a position where you need to be a leader and you need to sort of have the right guy. And when you sort of skip on other guards like a Dennis Smith or a Malik Monk, it just seems like a huge risk for the Knicks to take. So,
now, do you think, Marcus, you know, having lived in New York, why haven't they just committed to a full rebuild? Because this kind of piecemeal patchwork quilt thing they've been doing the last few seasons, to me, that would be more frustrating as a fan. You know, you bring in spare parts like Derrick Rose or Joaquin Noah, Joakim Noah. I'm thinking of Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know where Joaquin came from. Would it frustrate you that, you know, they are bad enough to be a team that you hate rooting for, but not be so abominably bad that, you know, they're getting these top draft picks. Like, they got Porzingis, but other than that, what has Phil done to give you confidence and encouragement as a fan of the New York Knicks?
Well, I think part of that's contracts. I mean, if they could have their way, and I'm sure they would want to shed Noah and Carmelo and get those contracts off the books. But with those two guys eating money, you're sort of hamstrung in terms of what you can do. You hit a home run with Porzingis, and that's about it.
And he's starting to piss him off, too. He's already like, you know what, man? I'm getting a little tired of you, old man.
I mean, if he's gone by next season, it would not surprise me. Because he doesn't seem happy there. So, you know, if he leaves, I think this team will hit definitely rock bottom. I don't think it's hit rock bottom yet, but let Porzingis leave and Carmelo leave. You could be looking at the worst team in basketball easily.
How much longer does Phil have on his contract?
That I don't know.
I get why Dolan won't fire him, because he's a great human shield, because nobody's talking about Dolan right now. But like, as great as he was as a coach and as great as he was with the Bulls and the Lakers, he has done nothing since returning to New York. Other than Porzingis, which to be honest, I don't know how much Phil wanted Porzingis.
Yeah. I mean, he's sort of, I don't want to say got lucky, but That, you know, I think when definitely when he was drafted, people weren't expecting him to be this good. So.
Oh, and ESPN kept showing that little kid from, I guess, the year before.
That's right.
That was mad, and now he's happy. And when they called out Frank's name, despite not knowing who the hell Frank is, the kid was like, "Oh yes, we got another one."
Oh, he was there.
He was happy, like the kid was happy. Like I don't know if they knew that he was gonna be there or they arranged it or something with his pops or whatever. But yeah, they had like the footage of when Porzingis was drafted and how distraught he was, and then when they called Frank's name, he was over the moon. Like you would have thought they just drafted Michael Jordan.
That's funny.
So now I guess he believes what Phil is selling.
Yeah, well, I hope he believes in $17.7 million head shit for Noah. Hope he believes in that.
Yes, for Joaquin Noah. So let's go to question number three, Marcus. And this, to me, is the most intriguing subplot of the NBA hot stove season. And that is, what do you think is the best destination? And take your Lakers bias out of this, Marcus. What do you think is the best destination next year, for next season, for Paul George?
I am going to say the Indiana Pacers.
Really?
Yeah.
Just strictly for the money.
Strictly for the money. You know, he is going to be going after this All-NBA team, which would get him more money on top of whatever he would get for staying in Indiana, which I don't expect him to stay. But, you know, you're going from potentially being the guy in Indiana to a guy in the sense of maybe, like, behind a LeBron and a Kyrie in Cleveland, or behind a Isaiah Thomas in Boston, and possibly a Gordon Hayward if they somehow swing both of them, which would cut into George's production. So if you know you only have 1 year left in Indiana and you don't plan on going to Cleveland or Boston or anywhere else besides LA long term, then why not just bite the bullet, do you, get your stats, sneak into that All-NBA team to help get you additional money, and you can come back to Los Angeles the following year.
Yeah, I think if you're going to Los Angeles anyway, which is what people are saying, and what Paul George, his representative, in fact, said, you know, that's where he wants to go. He wants to be a Laker. If that's where your ultimate destination is, I don't think it makes sense to go to any team, with maybe the exception of Cleveland, if you're going to go ring chasing. But other than that, I think you stay, because it makes no sense to go to L.A. now, because if you go to L.A., they're going to have to give something up. So why?
Yeah, you're hurting yourself.
Hurting yourself. That's what happened with Carmelo. You know, they had to give up all those parts to get him to New York. And when he got there, he's like, how come I don't have any help? So, yeah, I think unless he goes to Cleveland to team up with LeBron and Kyrie and try to knock off the Warriors, it just makes sense to stay in Indiana for one more year.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what he does. It sounds like he wants to – well, I guess he hasn't really said, or his camp hasn't said if he wants to be moved now. He just pretty much said, hey, I'm going after next year. So,
right.
I'm curious to see what his thoughts would be about joining a different team. But at the same end, I don't really see...
There's always the Wizards. John Wall came out today. John Wall wants Paul George in D.C.
They could use him, but I don't see that happening. Nah. But I also don't see Paul George, and this is not really a knock on Paul George, but I don't see Paul George as being the Kevin Durant, like, difference maker for a team. Even in Cleveland, if you add Paul George to that trio.
I think he's an upgrade over Kevin Love, though.
I mean, they do two different things.
From a defensive standpoint.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Kevin Love serves a role on that team. And, you know, until Tristan Thompson decides to live up to his contract year-round and not fade away in the playoffs, then I don't know if you lose Kevin Love, do you have too much of a liability in the paint when it comes to just even rebounding, relying on just Tristan Thompson, who looked awful in the finals.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing to me. Like, other than Paul George, who I do think is a defensive upgrade, like, everybody that they've been talking about this offseason, like, what if they could assemble this super team and you got Melo and Wade heading out there? I don't think anybody really helps them that much other than a Paul George.
No, what would help them would be a better bench that is under 30. You get all these collection of guys who are just old. And if you're going against the Warriors for a fourth time, a team that pushes the tempo, and you're relying on Richard Jefferson, who's 37, and, you know, Darren Williams, who's 33, and Kyle Korver, who's 36, you know.
These dudes are like one step away from, what's that league, the Big Three?
Uh-huh.
They one step away from playing for Coach Iverson.
Yeah, so if that's your bench is the guys over 30, then, you know, I think that's a bigger issue. Your starters are fine. You can survive, yeah. Even with J.R. Smith starting, you can survive if you're starting five. It's the guys after that where I have questions.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think we both agree. It makes more sense for Paul to stay in Indiana. So we'll see the PG-13 saga. That is kind of the most intriguing thing. He's the biggest fish out there. But let's go from the NBA to the NFL for question number four, Marcus, because the NFL Network recently released the top 100 players in the NFL as voted by the players. And your top five are Khalil Mack at number five, Antonio Brown at number four, Julio Jones from America's Team at number three, Von Miller at number two, and number one, Tom Brady. Marcus Vandenberg, are these rankings legit, or to use an MC Hammer turn of phrase, should they quit?
Von Miller, is that good, huh?
Yeah, I like, and Aaron Rodgers, for point of reference, was number six. So I don't know, man. Like, I respect Tom Brady. I don't know if Tom Brady's like the best player in the NFL, though.
Ooh. I'm not.
Now, you can make the argument Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback right now.
But Tom got the rings, though.
Tom got rings. But if we're just talking about the actual play on the field, you can make the argument Aaron Rodgers is the best pound for pound quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah, but.
And I say this is somebody that is not a fan of Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know. Tom, I think if you're looking at the body of work, and I'm sure part of that is just
legacy.
It's Tom. And listen, two interceptions last year. Two. That's it. Like, he was not a slouch last year. And you add that on top of the fact that they won. And the way they won, as I don't need to remind you how they won. It'd be hard to... Now, I think I would have bigger issues with the fact that Rodgers is six and maybe he should be a little higher to Brady. But
yeah.
I can't see.
I mean, there's Brady some questionable getting... calls around here. Because I think Ezekiel Elliott was, like, the number one running back.
Yeah, he's number seven on the list.
Yeah, like, I don't know if Zeke should be that high off of just one season.
I would take Le'Veon. That's just me.
Yeah. I think, what, Dak was in the top 20?
Yeah, I would not put Dak number 14, but that's just me. I mean, Dak over like, Drew Brees? Yeah, no.
Yeah, like, we're all for our black quarterbacks, even Vince Young, keep your head up.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no way to me like Ezekiel or Dak should be that high, despite you know what they did last season.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, to be fair, these are the players. perspectives on things. And I think, yeah, a lot of it is kind of legacy, but also if you're a player, you kind of got that narrow focus. Like you're not watching every game every week, but you know that when you played Aaron Rodgers or when you played Tom Brady, that guy kicked my ass. So he's pretty good.
Well, I respect the list even more knowing that the players voted Von Miller number two, because I think that says a lot about the kind of job he's doing on the defensive side.
Yeah, so I think, again, I have some issues, although I am happy Julio Jones, they put some respect on his name. But again, this is just something fun, something to argue about. So I'm wondering what the listeners think. Maybe if you have a different ranking, you can hit us up on Twitter, at KOSPOD, KOS_POD.
By the way, I'm not ready for football yet. I am not there.
I mean, like we talked about with TJ the other week, even though Hank Williams Jr. is back, you're not ready for it?
I think by September I'll be ready, but late June, I'm good.
All right. Well, you know, you might not be ready for football season, but there's one thing that is always in season, Marcus, because it has no off season. Even though it might actually benefit them to either have an offseason or do something that rotates the talent, keeps them fresh. And that is, of course, professional wrestling. Which brings us to question number five, the wild card question. And over the past few months, we've seen several athletes get involved in the world of pro wrestling. We saw Gronk earlier in the year at WrestleMania. We saw, of course, LeVar Ball and the Ball Boys Monday night on Raw. And D'Angelo Williams, NFL running back, will be at Slammiversary this upcoming Sunday. So, Marcus, my question to you is, what athlete would you like to see in a wrestling ring?
Oh, Conor McGregor, easy.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one, yeah. I mean, he certainly obviously has the promo ability to be a wrestler. So, yeah, I could see Conor McGregor as a pro wrestler. That's a good one.
Coming to 205 Live, Conor McGregor.
Oh man, can you imagine the back and forth between Neville and Conor?
Oh, it'd be good. Who the fuck is this guy?
The only reason that he is because I showed up. It's your fucking purple ropes.
I think Rousey would be my other answer, and that's probably a more believable answer.
Okay.
And, you know, I think the key to this would be having someone who likes the product. It doesn't make any sense to have just to pick on Kevin Durant in a wrestling ring. Like, I'm going to assume he's not a big wrestling fan. That sort of defeats the purpose. So you need someone who is a fan of the product, but also can sort of hold their own in the ring. And I think Rousey would, I think it will happen at some point, whenever Vince gets desperate enough to write that check. I think having Rousey in the company would be huge.
And you also couldn't trust Kevin Durant. If you're his tag team partner, because halfway through the match, you're getting beat. He goes over out the other side. Yeah. He doesn't even just walk out. He just goes over and gets on the ring rope with the other team.
Oh,
you the real MVP, Matt Hardy. I think my two, I'm gonna go with Tim Tebow, because I think Tim Tebow would be a fascinating wrestling character, and I've said it for years. Like I don't know if he'd be a good promo. He's kind of John Cena, white meat babyface, but I think at Tim Tebow, maybe even more than a babyface, like a heel Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
That's like
who's
better than
who's
everybody.
Who's not a virgin? Who's out here hoeing?
Yeah, like turns out everything we believed was fake. I think Tim Tebow would be great. I mean, he's obviously got the physicality for it. Yeah, Tim Tebow is my choice for what male athlete I would like to see in the wrestling ring. And in terms of the women, I'm going to go with, since she's had some beef this week, how about Serena?
It's called Naomi. We got one of those.
We can't have more than one Marcus?
It's not in Vince McMahon's world.
We call them sisters. They'd be a tag team.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, though, Serena would only be like the 700th best pro wrestler out there.
Oh.
Bam.
John McEnroe.
We see you, Mac.
Matt, you're right. It's okay, though. You're right. But you just can't say that.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You just can't say it out loud. We understand why you're right, Matt Monroe, but uncalled for.
Yeah, yeah, you a little too far, a little too far. So yeah, that's five questions. I think we did a good job with that segment. So what we're gonna do, Marcus, is I'm gonna let you get ready for what we've got to talk about in segment four, and I'm gonna go rewatch the new Nike commercial with Russell Westbrook. Have you seen that?
Not yet.
It's pretty good. It's like old Schoolhouse Rock. It's like you add up all the numbers and they equal zero and zero equals MVP.
Oh.
So it's like a little cartoon. Like, yeah, I like it. Good work, Nike. So I'm going to go rewatch that and I'm going to let you get ready. I'm going to go put on your $500 shoes and your Triple B t-shirt. And we'll be back on the other side, Marcus, to talk about the one and only LeVar Ball.
All right.
So don't go anywhere. We got more Kings of Sport right after this.
I'm a leader. Picture us losing how they say. Might lose, but we gonna lose doing it our way. All my exes and O's sketch up a little play. Money over women, ain't that what they say? We wouldn't know, we don't follow the crowd. Ripped up the map and charted our own route. They said the earth was flat, we told them it was round. They said we needed a hit, we created. Now the people love us, we love them back. We sign their autographs whenever we interact. And never stand in another man's shadow. Blaze our own trail, I'm not afraid to fail. I'm a leader. Leader. I know that you love me. I lead by example.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Let's get ready to rumble!
You want that belt? Oh, boy, you making me shoot! Okay. Oh, put your clothes back on, Buck, man. You ain't the only man holding my shirt off.
Oh, no. Wait, is Ambrose the voice of reason? I can't believe I'm saying that phrase.
Well, he is the lunatic phrase.
Beat that nigga ass. Beat that nigga ass.
Look,
We are back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to give you what you want. We got to give you what you need. And what you want and need is ratchetness in its pure, unadulterated form. And this week have we got a topic of discussion for you folks. Segment four, always where we talk about the crazy convergence of pop culture and sports and just foolishness out there in this world that we live in. And it all converged, Marcus, Monday night in the Staples Center, where I believe you were in attendance.
I wasn't. I was there. I was in the building.
So will you explain to the people, give us a firsthand bird's eye view of what happened when LeVar Ball got wrong?
Ryan Sadden of Pro Wrestling Sheet was all over the story. I think it started on earlier Monday or maybe late Sunday, where the rumors started about
I think it might have been late Sunday,
about LeVar Ball being at Raw, and then it spread to LeVar and Lonzo being at Raw, and finally WWE decided to just announce it late Monday afternoon that they would be part of Miz TV. I thought it might start the show. They decided to stick it in the start of the second hour. And I will say it was a mixed reaction at first. And mixed is probably being a kind term. Even when Lonzo came out separate, there were some boos.
Yeah, Lonzo caught some boos when he first came out.
And I do have to remember that, this is a Laker town, but Clipper fans do exist. So that could have been some Clipper Nation people, Clipper Daryl.
Is he the first Laker to ever get a Titantron video?
He might be. Because I just chatted his stuff when he was on the Lakers. So, he might be. So, LeVar comes out first with LaMelo, the young son.
We'll get to LaMelo.
Yeah, we will. Boy. Oof. Can't take us nowhere. And I didn't know what to expect. So originally when I first heard about the rumors, I also heard about the Steve Austin rumors, which we'll talk about. We'll discuss that in a second. But I figured, hey, LeVar will take the Stunner from Steve Austin, and that will be on SportsCenter all week. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. So I figured once he got involved with the Miz that nothing physical would take place. But I guess the question I have for you is, did you feel that LeVar was scripted at all? Because it felt like he was just rambling.
I think if anything, at the most, they gave him maybe some bullet points. But no, there's no way that was scripted word for word like most of the promos these performers do in the WWE now. I mean, I don't think LeVar would be able to memorize it just because his mind is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And B, like the way, like he was cutting off Dean Ambrose when Ambrose came out. He's like, I'll just let you finish your thing, LeVar. Like LeVar was, you can't. What's the old Dan Patrick line? You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
Yeah.
Like they were playing with a bull in a china shop with LeVar Ball, and he was entertaining. I'll give him that. And he definitely showed maybe more charisma than half the roster in his segment. But when you deal with somebody as unpredictable as LeVar Ball, unpredictable things can happen.
Today is the 6-year anniversary of the CM Punk pipe bomb promo. we could have had a pipe bomb situation last night on our hands with LeVar Ball. With a live mic.
I would have loved it if LeVar had just sat at the top of the stage, legs crossed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the greatest wrestler of all time.
So he got his Leslie Jones on a lot. There's a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, to the point where it was hard to really understand in the crowd what he was saying. And then Lonzo comes out, and Lonzo got more cheers than boos. And it was at this point I was trying to figure out where exactly they were headed in this segment. And, the focus was purely on LeVar. And next thing you know, shirts are coming off. And this is where LaMelo was caught on mic, not even off mic, not even like him whispering to like Lonzo, like with the microphone in his hand.
Yes.
Yelling, beat that nigga's ass. Said it twice.
Twice.
And I did not pick up on it in the arena.
Not only did he say it, but he said it with such enthusiasm. Beat that nigga's ass.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So that happened.
And it went through. Like, it did. I think some of our listeners in Canada, it got blocked out, but it certainly came through on USA.
East Coast, yeah. West Coast, they blocked it out, but East Coast, they got it. They got it raw. Pun intended.
Which is, I mean, this is a historic moment. You mentioned the pipe bomb earlier. This was the first time the N-word has been uttered since what? Vince McMahon and Booker T on Raw programming?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure the word is used by behind the scenes all the time by management.
Doot, doot, doot. Not going to say any names.
But yeah, this is the first time on TV since the Booker T incident.
And that was pay-per-view. So this was the first time on USA, I think.
I think there was something with Cena with the N-word once as well. But that was a pay-per-view too, I think.
Yeah, and then Booker T was WCW. Yeah, so this was probably the first time in USA, which I'm sure they would throw.
It is. And it, like, the WWE actually had to come out and issue an apology, which is like, that's talent. If you can out embarrass the WWE, because they have no shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your boy Paul's like, Vince, we got to do something about this.
Yeah.
Do you think Vince had any idea who the hell these balls were?
No. 0%. And I am, after talking to Paul, I would say he might be tuned in because he was tuned into the Embiid stuff a little bit. So I would say he probably had a 25% chance of knowing about LeVar Alonzo Ball. But it was probably a writer saying, hey, look at this.
These guys are hot right now.
Yeah. We're in LA. They're in the news. Yeah. So.
And yeah. I mean, to be fair to the company, like, it wasn't a bad idea.
Wasn't a bad idea, no.
What about the segment? Because to me, I think they missed an opportunity with the segment because all it did was lead to a six-man tag match with Dean Ambrose.
A pointless
match
at that, yeah.
Yeah, pointless match. Like, I thought, because early in the day, LeVar had posted a picture with him and Titus O'Neil.
That's where I thought they might be headed to.
Like, I thought that would have been a much better use, you know, because you got the Big Baller brand and the Titus brand. Like, I thought that would have been something funnier with more of a punchline than what they ended up doing.
Yeah, I think they probably said, hey, who knows basketball really well? All right, The Miz. Okay, you got a segment already, so let's just incorporate you guys with The Miz, who actually
LeVar
knows basketball.
Who hanging out with? Dean Ambrose.
That was weird.
Overall, how do you think both being there in the Staples Center, and also, you know, as somebody who was aware of LeVar Ball and his antics beforehand, which I don't know how much of the audience was, what did you make of the whole spectacle? Because I think from a performance side of things, LeVar Ball did pretty good, man. Mm-hmm. Like, he was entertaining. He was acting a damn fool, but that's LeVar Ball. But I could see how, if I'm the company, like, yeah, that probably wasn't the best usage of our TV time.
Yeah, the guy I went with to the show, he was not familiar at all with the balls. So he actually went to the restroom during the Miz TV segment because he had no interest. So I think from that sense, I don't think there's a lot of crossover between basketball and wrestling fans outside of, not to profile, but outside of the black audience. So I think they probably did have some people who were just not clued into the balls and were probably not interested. But I think for the ones who are familiar with the balls and who follow, you know, basketball and wrestling, they loved it.
Yeah, I mean, other than the unfortunate LaMelo ad-lib, I thought it was, like, people are saying it was the worst segment. I thought it wasn't, like, it wasn't a good segment, quote-unquote, Marcus. But it wasn't boring. It wasn't the Alexa Bliss Bailey deal from a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah, not at all.
So yeah, it was like it was a train wreck, but it was a fun train wreck.
Yeah, everyone wrote about it. I mean, when's the last time you saw a Miz TV segment actually get headlines? So that's what they want at the end of the day.
I can't wait, and I never thought I'd say this in 100 years, Marcus. I can't wait till the next time Miz comes back on Sports Nation.
Oh yeah,
because they're gonna have some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Miz, when LaMelo opened his mouth, what was going through your mind? That might have been the best part of the whole thing. Like, well, two things. One, Miz didn't comment on that. And two, that it was LaMelo and not Lonzo that said it.
Oh, if it was Lonzo, there'd have been bigger issues.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, just from what we can tell, that's not Lonzo's personality. So.
I was going to say, who's it? Marcellus Wiley was talking about it earlier today, and he's like, yeah, from what he knows, LaMelo was the one that is most like pop a ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's go real quick from the balls to the Stone Cold deal, because I did hear reports about that.
Yeah. So the other rumor was Stone Cold was going to be at Raw and making a special appearance, and there were a lot of Stone Cold Steve Austin shirts in the crowd. Not only the new ones that they were selling for the show that said Los Angeles 316, but people were wearing their old Austin shirts, I think, in anticipation of an appearance. And nothing.
He was in the building, right?
I have not seen that today, if he was actually there or not. So
I heard on a review of Raw, I guess Pollock and Ting, they had talked to somebody that said he was actually in the building.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not sure what happened then, but I even stuck around for the dark match thinking they might.
You stayed for Stone Cold, but you got stuck with Bray Wyatt.
Well, I thought the only reason they brought out Kurt Angle for that end of that women's match was after the camera stopped as Kurt Angle was walking back up the ramp to have Austin come out and have Austin and Angle have some type of interaction or back and forth.
Yeah.
But no, Angel left, and then Bray came out, and I was like, "Oh well, what do I do?" And yeah, if he faced Rollins, Rollins won, and I even stuck around until they did the "We'll be back in September, LA. Have a good night."
You thought Austin was gonna come out after the dark match?
You never know. You never know, and. Yeah, nothing. So I'm not sure, you know, what happened with all that, but kind of.
Maybe he saw LeVar and he was like, nah, man, I can't follow that.
Yeah, kind of shady that they sold all this merch and and nothing.
I think John was saying, like, it's not explicitly false advertising, but it is like you're misleading the consumer.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Every time you go to one of these shows, something always pops off. Like, last time you went, wasn't it when The Rock was doing the Page movie?
Yeah, so that's why I thought, too. Because, you know, Rock was there before the show and said, I'll be back after the show. There was no dark match that night. It was the movie taping. So I figured, hey, they might throw out Austin after the show and just have him, you know, drink beers and give a hell yeah and call it a night. But, yeah, nothing.
All right, so in your best estimation, Marcus Vandenberg, where would you put the odds to us ever seeing LeVar Ball on WWE programming again?
Oh, zero.
Zero? So you think it's done?
Yeah.
Because I would tend to agree that it's probably a one-and-done situation, but, I mean, look at us. Like, when's the last time you've seen this many media outlets talking about Monday Night Raw? Like, granted, it might be for the wrong reason, but like, and what was it, the second hour when Ball was in, that was like the highest rated hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean I could see why they wouldn't want to have him back on, but there's also, you know, there's a couple of reasons why, you know, you, this company of all places would be like, you know what, we can take the heat.
I think that the N-word thing is going to not sit well with people.
Vince gets a back in the office. Not LeVar. I like that word, but it's only for behind the curtain.
Yeah, you can't use it. I can. It's not your word.
That's our word. We came up with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, if this was his only appearance on WWE TV, at least he made it memorable.
Yeah, he did. He got some headlines. So
I mean, nobody's talking about Josh Duhamel. Ain't nobody talking about Josh Duhamel today.
Yeah, I saw him walk out on the set, and we had no idea who it was. They never announced it.
He was pimping some Transformers. WWE movie shooting. Well, yeah, Transformers, but he's shooting a movie with Sheamus later this year that's going to come out next year.
Oh, that should be.
And he was pimping that. It was a terrible segment because he was like they just brought him in like midway through the match.
Like, yeah, the match had already started. Yeah.
They came back to commercial. They're like, hey, we're here with Josh Duhamel. Like, okay. So, never a dull moment when Marcus attends these shows. And there is never a dull moment here on the Kings of Sport. We're going to call it a show for this week. So, Marcus Vandenberg, if you want people to hit you up and, maybe give you some more burger suggestions so we can get Vandenbergers back up and running. Or if you want people to hit you up and discuss who can and cannot use the N-word, where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill. And if you're going to New Japan this weekend, let me know. And,
Is it you going to be there?
Yes, I should be there.
It makes sense though. Like you're not one to miss a Billy Gunn match.
Oh, of course not.
Shit, we might have a title change. Now we got a champion versus champion match.
God, I'm not a Cody fan, so I hope he doesn't win, but I think he will.
Hey, I'm a fan of Cody just because of his personal lifestyle. Let's just put it like that. As opposed to somebody like a Randy Orton.
Wow. By the way, one last thing about
Raw. I appreciate the Rhodes family is what I'm saying.
Baby, you don't marry that cheap black girl, baby. Don't let that one go, baby. She's no sapphire, baby. A lot of the evening last night, people were like, I don't say heckling, but people were calling JoJo's name.
Why?
Bray called. You never know.
Let me rephrase that.
that was kind of awkward most of the night. And it was funny watching her from a distance. She spent most of the evening chatting with whoever the guy was on the headset. So probably one of the producers or someone. But guys were calling her name all night. So. People still remember.
There's a couple of haters out there.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter, @ MOZAIK, @ Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/KingsOfSport. And don't forget to subscribe to the show. You can subscribe to the show and have it show up on your phone, on your laptop, or your iPod each and every week. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast from, we are there. So while you're there, subscribe to the show, rate the show, review the show, and if you like us, share the show with your friends. That's going to do it for this week. Good to be back with a full show. Bit of programming news and notes, Marcus. We are on the road to episode 200 of the Kings of Sport.
Slowly but surely.
So we got some things planned for the listeners. I've talked to a couple former guests and maybe some former co-hosts, not that co-host that you're thinking of, but maybe another co-host who may return for the occasion. So we got that coming up sometime this summer. And I say sometime this summer because it's no telling, no guarantee.
Yeah, my schedule's
we might go on another Royal Rant streak and do like 10 rants in a row and come back.
NetSuite's question, but I'm going to Atlanta, so we'll see.
We got episode 200 coming up, and a lot of good things here in store for the rest of the year on the Kings of Sport. So again, thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for rocking with us each and every week, and we'll be back next week to do it again. Marcus, unless you got anything else to say, I think that'll be it for this week.
That's all I got.
All right, so Again, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we'll check you back here for another edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. And as you go out in your week this week, folks, remember, get that nigga ass. Get that nigga ass. I told you we were dangerous. Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Attack like I just left.